Morning. It is a blessing to be here with you all this morning. Thank you, Ramon, for leading us. Thank you for the worship. I'm going to move this so I don't trip over it. And this looks awesome. So hopefully you've got some kids or neighbor kids, or you're involved with VBS tonight. I think it's going to be really, really good program. So we're going to continue our series that we've been going through for several months now. And this morning we're going to consider what it means to serve with our experiences. And so I want to start by talking about superheroes. One of, I think, the most important elements of any good superhero story, whether it be Spider-Man or Wonder Woman or Thor or the Incredible Hulk, is a good backstory. The backstory of a superhero story, or really of any fictional story, is it tells the history of the person and gives the audience a more well-rounded understanding of who they were, so that we can understand what they have become and why they are doing what they're doing. Their background and their experience and their history directly affect their mission. For example, my favorite superhero is Batman. And Batman has a pretty deep, kind of a dark backstory. Batman's parents were murdered by criminals in Gotham, which prompted him to go on this crusade to fight crime and clean up the streets. Because of his wealth, he grew up in a very wealthy family, he's able to make all these cool gadgets and cars and different things to help fight crime. Because of the pain he feels at the loss of his parents, he has this special drive to enact justice so that others don't have to experience that same kind of pain. Because of his connections as this wealthy Gotham socialite, he gets to know different people in the police department and politics throughout the city, and so that he's able to get an insight into the underbelly of what's going on. Because of his position as a CEO of Wayne Enterprise, which is the company that his parents or that his dad started and owns, he's able to rub elbows with businessmen and members of the board and people in his employ. Ultimately, what we learn from Batman is that his background, his profession, his cultural and social status, and his internal drive to fight crime all motivate his mission as a superhero. Each of us, in that same way, has a backstory. We all come from a certain place and have been given a certain heritage from our families, and we all have past experiences that directly affect the way that we live in the present. Our experiences and the way that we view and react to those experiences can have both positive and negative consequences. For example, let's say that you grew up in a household where money was tight, and your family tended to live paycheck to paycheck. Well, there's a whole lot of ways that this could affect how you would view money and react and respond to money now, but let's just consider two different ways that this might have impacted you. For some, this might instill a constant fear about the have and the loss of money. It's something that you didn't know when it was coming in, and you didn't know exactly when it was going out, so maybe that means that when you get it, you spend it really fast, because it's not something you have any control over. So why waste the opportunity when it's there? For others, maybe you determined, since you grew up where money was really tight, where you just didn't know when it was going to come in and you were cash poor, you didn't want to live your whole life that way. So instead, you determined that you're going to voraciously save everything that comes in so that you never have to feel that way again. Two very different responses to the same background. And I imagine there are probably hundreds of ways that one would respond to this sort of things. Our experiences shape who we are, whether we realize it or not. In the same way, when it comes to how we choose to serve as faithful followers of Jesus Christ, our backstories inform that. It informs how we serve, what areas we serve in, why we serve, and to whom we serve. This morning, I want to challenge you all and encourage you all to search your own backstory as we go through some scripture and the rest of the message. Search your own backstory and consider how your experiences in their entirety, both good and bad, have shaped and informed who you are, and in doing so have shaped and informed how you serve others as a Christian. The Bible is full of examples of people who embrace their experience and their background, both the good and the bad of it, as a catalyst for how they serve God in their lives. Moses was raised Egyptian and rose up in the ranks and became very powerful. And then he discovered that he had Hebrew roots, and he decided to live into that backstory by helping liberate the people from slavery in Egypt. Daniel was an Israelite held in captivity in Babylon, and he had this very strict diet and decided when he went into captivity he was going to hold to that diet. And in doing so, he served as an example for the Babylonians, and they realized he's a whole lot stronger in the way he eats than the way we eat, so we're going to make everybody eat that way. In Matthew chapter 1, the gospel writer gives the genealogy of Jesus, all the people that came before Jesus. And Rob and I met this week in our missional discipleship group, and we were talking about some of the interesting inclusions in this genealogy, that you have several women in the Old Testament who either would have been oppressed or looked down upon by the elite in their culture. And we were wondering, why were these women included? We have Tamar, who was the half-sister of Judah and had experienced this really horrific rape. We have Rahab, who was a pagan prostitute who helped save these Israelite spies in her city. There's Ruth, who was a foreigner but decided to marry into and live with the Jewish people. And so I wonder if God chose these women to be a part of Jesus' genealogy, a part of Jesus' backstory, in order to inform and to show the direction of what Jesus' ministry was going to be like and where God's heart was to the people on earth. We are all informed by our backstories. This morning, we're going to take a closer look at the life of the Apostle Paul and specifically how his background and experience contributed to the way that he served God. And then I want us, hopefully, to consider how our own background and experience might add value to the current way we are serving God, and how, or maybe how it might compel you to serve God in new and different ways. So we're going to talk about two specific ways that we can serve from our own experiences. First, serving from our backgrounds. Let's consider what it means to do so. What was Paul's background exactly, and how did he use it to serve God? Well, let's take a look at the first five verses of his speech in Acts 22 and think about how he sort of shows these various parts of his own background and how they might have informed what he did. This is what he says. I want to read it over again just so we can pick up on a couple things. Brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. As the high priest and all the council can testify themselves, I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. So this is sort of a prologue to Paul's encounter with Jesus. But there's a whole lot in here, and I want to break it down a little bit and really consider what he's saying. What does Paul say to help his audience here in Jerusalem relate to him so that his message would be more clear and maybe even more compelling to them? First, it says he speaks in Aramaic. Aramaic was kind of the common tongue of the time. It was the language of the people. Remembering that Paul, as he says in here, is a very well-educated man, decided not to use those you know, those big words around these people and instead speak in a way they can understand and relate to them. So imagine if I were up here and I started talking to you about soda and sneakers and Buffalo Wild Wings instead of pop, tennis shoes, and B-dubs. You would know I'm probably not from around these parts, right? We have our own dialect here in Ohio. Or if somebody yelled out OH and I just kind of looked really confused about what was happening, you'd know I wasn't Ohioan. Paul, first and foremost, wanted to show them he understood how they talked. He knew their language. He was one of them. Secondly, Paul acknowledges that he was born in Tarsus, which if you look at a map, you've got the sea, and then you've got Jerusalem, and Tarsus is way over here, and it's part of the Roman Empire. He says, I know I was born elsewhere, but I was raised in Jerusalem. So I can lay some claim onto this city. Third, Paul tells him he's a Jew. He's in the synagogue. He's teaching them about Jesus, which to the very devout Jewish people would have felt like a very anti-Jewish movement. And he says, I am a Jew. I am part of God's chosen people. So at least they could understand he has that background. Fourthly, he tells him he is trained under the law. In fact, he was trained by however you want to pronounce the man's name, Gamaliel. We're going to go with that. He was one of the premier rabbis of the day. So Paul was no fool. He wasn't half committed to the faith. He wasn't unfamiliar with their law, which was the first five books of the Old Testament. Paul understood it. He was very knowledgeable. So anything he would have to say in relation to it, they could at least take on credit that it was substantiated by his education. I mean, this is something that's important to us today. We want to know that the information we're getting has credibility. If I want to know why my car is making a funny noise, I'll ask Sam. If I want to know whether this plant is okay to touch or eat, I'm going to ask Harmon. If I want to know, I don't know, anything about Snapchat, I'll ask the Kaufman girls or I'll ask Pete. Don't ask me because I know nothing about it. Specific knowledge is just as important to people today as it was back then. And then fifth and finally, Paul tells him he's not only a Jew and a well-educated Jew, but that he was enthusiastic about upholding the law. He was so enthusiastic that he persecuted Christians. In fact, there are letters from people who would say, this guy is really good at persecuting. What would this particular thing mean then to the people listening to them, to what Paul was saying at the time, especially to the people who would be very against him preaching Christ? Well, it would say that Paul was one of them, but not just one of them, but he was very serious about being one of them, and so that something very serious must have happened to convert him away from being a zealous persecutor of the Christian church. So serious it would convert him away and it would turn him into a Christian and that he would be now a zealous follower of Jesus. I'm not a big fan of roller coasters, but over the years I've managed to get on, kind of scale up every time I go to a park, I'll get on the next biggest one. But for me, it's not ever going to be those adrenaline junkies that never had a problem with heights or going on roller coasters that are going to convince me to get on a bigger one, because they don't understand where I'm coming from. It's going to be the ones that are kind of scared of it, but willing to try it, that they might be able to convince me, okay, I think I can do this thing. And that's what Paul is doing here. He's saying, look, I'm very much like you all are right now, but something happened in my life to change me, and I want to tell you a little bit about it. Paul very freely uses his experience and background in the way he serves, whether it's his Roman heritage, which we don't see in this passage, but in Acts 17, Paul goes into this very pagan area called the Areopagus, which has all these statues to different gods, and he uses his Roman understanding to talk to Romans about Jesus by relating to them his understanding of their gods. Or he comes into the synagogue and he says, hey, I also get where you're coming from here, and I want to talk to you a little bit about Jesus. Paul was willing to use whatever it took in his experience and background to share the gospel. He writes about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23, and he says that he leans into whoever he was in order to reach others to in order to be who he could be to reach others in different places in life for God. This is what he says. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. So first, Paul uses his background to share and serve God in better ways. Secondly, I want to consider what it means not only to serve from our background, to serve from our pain, to serve from our pain. Walt Whitman writes in his poem, Song of the Open Road, "Through the laughter, dancing, dining, supping of people, inside of dresses and ornaments, inside of those washed and trimmed faces, behold, a secret, silent loathing and despair." All of us here, sitting here today, have a secret pain. Some present or past situation that we carry around with us. For many, this can be a burden that holds us back from living and being the whole persons that God has created us to be. For the Apostle Paul, rather than avoid, keep silent, or run from the pain, he uses it for the benefit of the kingdom of God. Because you see, shortly after this speech he gives in Acts 22, he is arrested and he is put into chains and he spends 2 years trying to fight in various courts for his freedom. Now at this point, he could have given up. He could have accepted his fate and felt convinced, well, that God gave up on him. You know, God gave him this mission, but why is he arrested and what possible good can he serve while he is imprisoned? But instead, he chose to minister to people from that place of pain. In fact, he writes the letter to the church at Philippi while he is in prison, and he tells them about how he used this own bad experience to share the gospel and how they can do so too. This is what he says in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." I'm going to say that again because I think that's really just important. "What has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." Paul takes the opportunity, because he gets moved around quite a bit when he is imprisoned. He's chained up and he's moved from place to place to place. He takes the opportunity to share the gospel with the guards so that it says that everybody who hears it has become confident in the Lord. And that's an awesome testimony. And realistically, how many of us look at our bad situations and say, you know, this would be a good opportunity to share Jesus? I mean, I'll be honest, that has pretty much never been my first thought. I would say down the line it comes around. Because it's difficult. It's difficult to think about how we can make good out of something bad. Paul reminds us and encourages us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, that if we are open to it, if we are open to it, God will reach out and comfort us in our places of pain. And then because of that, we can comfort others. This is what Paul says. "Praise be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. We can use our pain to serve others. Sometimes bad things happen even when we are doing good. And sometimes bad things happen and we deserve the consequences. And sometimes bad things happen and there is just no reason at all. The truth is that all of us experience difficulties. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:45 that He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. The question for us then is, how will we choose to respond or react to these painful experiences? In the book of Genesis, we read about this character Joseph, who at the time was the youngest of 11 brothers. And because of jealousy, his brothers take him and they sell him into slavery, and they tell his parents that he was killed. And this could have been a horrible situation, and Joseph could have really allowed it to just, I mean, his story could have ended right there. But we read about in Genesis that that he continues to be faithful to God, and he rises up in the ranks of Egypt, and he eventually is able to save the nation and his family from this terrible famine. And his response to the evil that was done to him is captured in Genesis 50, verse 20. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." We can choose to sit with our pain and determine that nothing is ever going to go right for us and that the world is out to get us. Or we can say, like Joseph, what was meant for evil, God can use for good. Our painful experiences can give us motivation to serve others who are enduring similar pain, or motivation to change the world around us so that people don't ever have to experience the same kind of things we go through. What are some of your painful experiences God could use to minister to others? Think about your own life. What are those memories, those times, those occasions that you struggle with the most? Maybe it's job loss, or cancer, or death of a parent, or financial troubles, or physical and mental illness. Maybe trouble with children, or divorce, or trauma, or crisis. If we can see how God has clearly worked in those situations, or is currently working in those situations, then we have a testimony of hope, and we are obligated to share that with others. The wise prophet Rafiki says in the movie The Lion King, "Ah yes, the past can hurt, but the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it." So how can we learn from our past pain and allow God to use that for the service of His kingdom? So we see these two things in Paul's life and story, that God uses his background, that backstory, that heritage, those experiences growing up, to relate to many different people, and he also uses his pain in order to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those with whom he might never have come in contact with. So I said at the beginning that I was going to challenge you to search your own experiences and discover how they, in their entirety, the good parts and the bad parts, can be formative and informative to your service to others as a Christian. Are you living into your own backstory? Where you are from, who your people are, what your job is or was, what your interests are, what your skills are, what your hobbies and education is, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with your friends, with your family, with your neighbors. If you're a farmer, how have you related God to those farmer friends that you meet with at the gathering place on Saturday mornings? If you're a teacher, do other teachers on your hall know about the hope you've found in Jesus Christ? If you love sports, how do the people sitting next to you, behind you, or in front of you on the bleachers at Tiger football games, how do they know that you are a follower of Jesus? Or if you're at B-dubs during an Ohio State game, how have they experienced the love of Christ because of who you are in those places? Additionally, have you allowed God to redeem those places of hurt and pain in such a way that you could be a shoulder of support and an arm of comfort to others around you? Have you allowed God to work through you in the hard times so that He can work through you to others experiencing the hard times? We are all called to serve God with our backstories. So what's your mission going to be? Let's pray. Gracious Father, You have formed us all. You have knitted us together, which is an amazing image. You tell us we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God, there are times I admit when I don't feel like parts of me were made very well, or they don't feel very wonderful. And yet I know, Lord, that You have made me for a purpose, and You have made all of us for a purpose. And You have showed us over and over again throughout Scripture and history that You can use people, broken people and hurting people, for Your kingdom. Lord, as we gather in Sunday school today, or as we go from this place to wherever we're going, continue this conversation in us and through us, Lord, that we might better serve our community, our friends, our family, our neighbors, the world around us, because of who You made us to be. Lord, we thank You for Jesus Christ, who gives us redemption in all of the things in our life. It's to Him we offer all the honor and the glory and the power. Amen. Invite the worship team forward to lead us in a response song.